everybody, and welcome to episode 143 of Revisiting Sunnydale. I am Camila.
I'm Marcella.
Welcome back. I know every episode is like, we've been working on like a every 4 month situation here. But you know what? We've said it before and I'll just say it again. Life, man. We're life, doing man. Our best.
We got day jobs. We got night jobs. We got life. Yeah. You know, we're doing life. The best we can.
I know it. So, but until then, you know, thanks for, we appreciate you hanging on and sticking with us this far. You can keep up with us, even though we're kind of inactive on these pages right now, but we should probably be doing something more there. Facebook page, Revisiting Sunnydale, Twitter, at Back to Sunnydale.
I posted there the other day. I swear I did. Just the other day, I posted something about James, just to keep it alive. Okay.
Thanks, Marcella. You got appreciate it. You, because I am barely on Facebook. Instagram at RVS_podcast, and we are on Patreon, patreon.com/revisitingsunnydale. And because we have been out of the loop for so long, and boy, do I apologize, I had not checked the Revisiting Sunnydale email or the Patreon for a hot second, and come to find out we have a new patron since as of October.
Are you still a patron?
Yes, she is. We appreciate you, Pollyanna Biswas. I know that's who amazing. You are. I've seen you in person. I've probably never actually said your name out loud. I apologize if I just screwed it up. I know you as Polly. She made me this awesome rug, a rhythm rug, like a shout out to Tribe Called Quest a couple years ago. And she has a really cute dog. So, but yeah, thanks, Polly. Back in October, she signed up for our Xander Harris tier. And we very much appreciate you. And we owe you a sticker.
Yes, we do.
All right, so we're going to get into it. Season 7, Episode 17, Lies My Parents Told Me. Original air date, March 25th, 2003, a lifetime ago. That's a whole person who can drink and vote ago.
Yeah.
Written by David Fury, directed by David Fury. Robin Wood seeks revenge on Spike for killing his mother nearly 30 years ago, whilst everyone else tries to find out how the First has control over him. Important guest stars, co-stars, Tom Link as Andrew, I'm not even saying her name anymore, D.B. Woodside as Robin Wood, Damani Roberts as Young Robin, K.D. Aubert as Nikki Wood, and Juliet Landau as Drusilla. We forgot to mention Spike's mum.
Oh, I didn't forget. So she creeps me out. I'll talk about her. She takes me to Spike's, a place that Spike's doesn't mom. Need to go. Spike's mom.
Spike's mom.
She's in this episode.
We open up with a flashback to 1977 with a very Billy Idol. Spike is fighting Nikki Woods in the rain. Wood. I just want to pluralize this family. Nikki Wood in the rain. I'm still pretty salty that they switched out actresses, but I did look into why and how this had happened.
But why?
Yes, per the Buffy Wiki, April Whedon, no relation, portrayed Nikki Wood in Fool for Love. This is who we are referring to when we said that they switched out actresses. She was also the stunt double for Kendra in What's My Line Part 1 and Alana Gunn on the Angel episode Warzone.
I feel like those girls are very different builds, but okay.
Yeah, I know what
Sure.
I'm just like, she's the only black female stunt person that they could find. Okay. You know what? I mean, shout out to April for getting paid.
Right.
But according to April, despite having auditioned to reprise the role of Nikki in 2003 for First Date and Lies My Parents Told Me, the casting stated that there was a certain maturity about me now and that I didn't get the part. So
okay, let's be honest. There was a certain maturity about her the first time around.
Right.
She looked old as hell the first time around.
Right. Like, so I don't know how old she was supposed to be.
Right. And how much older did she look the next time?
That was what, 5 years later?
Right.
Like, if that.
And I'm sorry, the black don't crack, so she couldn't have looked that much older.
I highly doubt it. Y'all were just trying to Aunt Viver, and I'm not.
I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate that horrible wig they put on the new actress.
Right.
It's terrible. And
it's so bad.
I will give the new actress her props. Her scene with young Robin is heartfelt. I feel a certain way about it. And he is adorable. But you're right. Why does he not recognize Spike? Why does the first need to tell him who Spike is if he was here for this whole damn scene?
He was hiding behind the bench while this whole fight took place. He seen him. I don't understand why, like, this is, like, new information to him when the Spike, right. when the first is like, you fought with the vampire who killed your mom.
And I mean, I know Spike probably doesn't remember everything he's ever smelled, but this was a certain fight with a Slayer and her child. He smelled Robin. He probably could have remembered him the first time he met him because he has Slayer blood. So maybe he smells a certain way. I don't know.
I'm just going to put most of this on Robin for now. I don't understand why Robin didn't remember him. Like, this is something. This was a very pivotal moment in your life.
Well, and it's not like he doesn't stand out either. Spike is very recognizable. The second you saw him, you should have been like, motherfucker. Nope.
That's the dude.
Nope. I'm out. I'm gone. I can't. No.
Exactly. And, but I'm also like feeling some kind of way about just Nikki's whole mindset is just like, she's basically tells her kid, you know, the mission's only, she actually tells her kid the mission is what matters. Basically telling him, you know what,
it matters more than you. It flat out matters more than you.
Yeah. So, you know, I got a job to do. I'm going to drop you off at old dude's house and, so you can play with some occult type things. And so you're not really a priority in my life, which sucks.
Yeah. And Robin needed some therapy. About him. Oh, yeah. He needed a lot of therapy, but it explains a lot about him. Mm-hmm. It explains an awful lot about him. But I just don't get how he can just fight alongside Spike. There's no way.
So they're out here fighting the good fight. Robin and Buffy and Spike and some random vamps in an alleyway. Robin gets into a little bit of trouble. Spike kills the vampire that was going to get him. And Robin just glowers.
He definitely gets a splinter because he holds that stake so hard that blood's coming out of his hand. Right. While Buffy is pummeling a vampire. In the distance, like you can see her just straddling this vampire and just punching him in the face. Just
going to town. So next day at school, they make note that the kids are all kind of back to normal because remember there was like a fucking riot a few episodes ago and just like all hell literally broke loose.
A rock at him.
But everything seems to be back to normal. And then Robin tells Buffy that she reminds him of his mom. And so now there's like zero chance that they're going to see each other naked.
I'm okay with that. They were not That's meant fine. To be anyway.
But mm-hmm. it's just, but like, you know, if there was any other sign at all whatsoever, it's like, you remind me of my mom.
Yeah. Yep.
So things get dried up real fast. And then Giles just shows up out of nowhere. And he is pissed.
Pissed.
About the state of the library, the new library.
Pissed. I find it hard to believe that there are zero books in there. He said there are zero books, all computers. There's probably still probably at being least a some little... encyclopedias.
Yeah, he was probably being a little dramatical, as, you know, the British do, as British Giles gets to be. But, you know, it was very... he's finding the state of the new library insufficient. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he's ready to talk to the school board and donate or lend some of his books from his own personal library.
Have it flown in. No, Giles. No.
Like, Giles, that's not the problem we're trying to rectify today.
But I appreciate your passion to your craft.
Right.
You really took that librarian role to heart.
Yeah, like, I don't even know. Like, was he like, okay, well, it's whatever. So anyway, they also, like, they start talking shop, and Robin just now gets up to speed about Spike's chip, soul, and trigger.
Well, that's because they keep having this conversation in front of him, and he's like, a what now? A hey now? A ho now? Huh? And then they're mad at him for not understanding what's going on.
It's a lot to keep up with, guys.
Yeah.
Like, we've been watching for 7 seasons, and we having some difficulties at times keeping it all straight.
It's a weird conversation, though, and Buffy is, I mean, she is very concerned about Spike. Her concern is with Spike. And Giles's concern is not with Spike.
Right.
And Robin's just in the background like, he killed my mom. Tell me more. What's like, this trigger you speak of?
Yes.
How can I use Giles... this to my advantage?
Right. And Giles has an idea. So everybody gathers around at the Summers house. Even Robin shows up, and Spike is chained in the basement. And Giles has some sort of rock thingy, and Willow is going to incantate it or whatever.
I love how casually you just said that Spike was chained in the basement. Like it was just a thing that happens.
That's just some things that happen. It's just how,
that's how it rolls. Typical Tuesday.
Typical Tuesday. And they want the thing to go up into Spike's brain. And Spike,
he's not happy about it. And I agree.
Yeah, he's less than enthused.
I don't like he's it. He's like,
how many times are you people going to try to shove shit up my brain? I'm asked not to.
And Willow's just like, and I hope I can get the pronunciation right. I'm sorry. We have seen that. Even remotely correct pronunciation can set books on fire. So I'm going to need you to get it right, because incorrect could cause it to do something completely wrong.
Right.
No, thank you.
Go up a different, go into a different orifice, whatever. But can you step outside and go practice your pronunciations before you come in here hot with your raggedy? I need you to raggedy...
Google translate that shit and tell it, let it speak to you.
With your raggedy Latin. And so it happens. And I'm just now realizing that this is the only scene in this episode that Xander and Will, that Xander's in, really.
Yeah. That's fine.
And Dawn. Yeah, like this is a very heavy, just like Buffy, Giles, Robin, Spike episode.
Yeah. Which is cool. heavy yeah. flashback. And then it's going in his eye, and I hate it. I hate it so much. Even though the CGI is terrible, but ooh, I don't like eye stuff. I'm just not an in the eye fan.
No, it makes me very uncomfortable.
Do you think her level of concern here is like Angel? It's the level of concern she had when Angel was like, anytime sick, Arrow.
It seems a little bit more.
It does because seem a little bit more.
It's like she's forsaking everyone else around her. For his comfort level too, because like later on, when Spike vamps out and is triggered and throws Dawn across the room, you know, he even suggests, like, shouldn't you go check on Dawn? She took a pretty hard hit. She's like, she's fine. She's tough.
She's fine,
ma'am. She could give two shits about her sister. Like, mm-hmm. She's the worst.
Yep.
So once this thing gets in Spike's brain, then it flashback. It takes him back to
Mama, to his mom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So human poet Spike.
William. We're seeing William.
Oh, yes. As he's reading his mom some poetry.
About the love of his life, Cecily, who we all know to be Halfrek.
Yes, even though it was never really like, you know, flat out stated in this show. We know.
We know.
His mom is all about like trying to hook him up with Cecily. She's like, yo, what's going on? Like, she's a good catch. And he's like, nah, I don't. I've got you,
boy.
Mother.
Mm-hmm. But she's got like, she's got the cough. She's got the, it reminds me of the wife in Tombstone who's got like consumption.
it's the 1800s. Cough. I was like, she coughs into a hanky and there's blood on it.
Yeah,
she's gonna die.
It's one of the reasons that every time I cough, I look at a hanky. I'm like, is there blood in it? Am I dying? I'm okay.
Everything's fine. Spike, like, James Marsters is what, like 57 at this point?
Yes, and he looks every bit of it in that wig. Yes. He really does. I'm not saying he's not an attractive man. It's just...
No, but it's just like the dynamic. Like, he's probably, what, 10 years younger than this actress?
Yeah. And it's supposed to be his youngest then, and he just does not look. Yeah. It's not working.
Yeah, it's this HD, I can see all of the makeup, all of the foundation.
Yep. But what does some work things... and what has always worked is Spike's vamp face. And when he hears that song, it triggers the first little thing and it makes him go apeshit and he attacks everybody. Yeah.
Because in his memory, he is now, we are all now aware that his mom used to sing that song to him.
Mm-hmm. The world's most annoying song that'll get stuck in your head.
Yeah, I don't even know the words. It's just over and over and over again that mm-hmm. early one morning. It's just, oh, make it stop. It's enough to trigger anybody.
And then so, Spike is super combative when he comes out of it after he has messed up so much in the room. But I will say my favorite part is Robin and his lovely boy eyelashes. My God, that man's got some. Woo. And they zoom in on them too. And it's just like,
This episode is very heavy with the Robin close-ups. And mm-hmm. I'm not complaining. That's not a fault of any kind. He's got that smooth, buttery chocolate cocoa skin and just... Mm-hmm. Like you said, those lovely, lovely eyelashes. Okay, Dawn does not get thrown. She gets a bed thrown on her.
Yeah. Still gets a big cut, which for some reason, Willow is just like dabbing like the hell out of her head. And she's like, ow. And can we take a moment to viciously point out this horrendous hat that Anya is wearing? What is this egg shell? What is that thing on her head? What is that? You're indoors, lady. Take that thing off your head.
I wonder, was this like part of a poor haircut choice by Emma Caulfield, or did she have a pimple? Because anytime they put a weird hat on these ladies in this show, like Willow, I always assume like you had like a terrible pimple on your forehead that makeup mm-hmm. could not help out, which is ironic considering that you guys are making full-on vampire faces. Right. But that's just my theory.
Yeah, mine too. I love it.
Yes, like you said, Spike is like super combative. Like he's really defensive with everybody. And Giles keeps, mm-hmm. and he finally tells everybody, okay, my mom used to sing me the song. It's fine. But Giles just keeps pushing and he's just like, that's it. You know, she was a lovely lady. It's fine.
He's like, your stupid stone didn't work. But... The stupid stone is like Spike's worst acid trip because he keeps going in and out of flashbacks. And he's even just sitting there. Even after the thing has come out of his eye, he's just sitting there while everyone's talking about him. And mm-hmm. he's looking at his hand and all of a sudden a lacy gloved hand grabs his hand and he's all of a sudden dancing around the room with Drusilla. Which, hello.
Hello, Julia. Drew.
It's nice to see you.
And, you know, and this is like the night or around about a couple of nights after Drusilla has turned Spike. So he's like freshly turned and they're all talking about what their life is going to be like together and all the trouble they're going to cause and all the people they're going to eat. And then Spike is like, yeah, the three of us. And she's like, huh? He's like, me and my mom. She's like, the fuck she is?
You want to bring your mom to eat. No, not to Drusilla. Eat. Not to eat. Me too. Me too. She is absolutely one of my favorites.
Well, it's just you're like what any new bride would say if her new husband was like, yeah, I want my mom to come live with us.
Yeah. Like, no, you're not bringing your mom on our quote unquote honeymoon. And of course, Drusilla's weird about it. I gave birth to your son. What? Huh?
Spike's mom has been beside herself with worry as she didn't know where he's been for the last several, last fortnight. I don't know.
2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks. 2 weeks he's been gone. That's, yeah, she must have, that is a lot of, that's a lot of red flags considering how far up her ass he's been for the last, what, we'll say he's supposed to be like, what, 28?
I don't know. Why is she rubbing her belly? What is wrong with her?
Know. Because Drusilla is amazing. she's so perfectly batty.
So perfectly batty.
Like nothing she does makes sense, but yet it all makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so while Spike is like still evading the question really about like what this all means, his relationship with his mom and the song, they get a phone call at the Summer's house. Andrew answers it because he's the admin. And he's like, there's somebody named Fred. There's somebody on the phone named Fred.
There's a guy like, named Fred on the phone.
And he sounds really effeminate. Hello, pot, kettle, right? Black.
But for those who didn't know or didn't watch, they might have been confused. And that was actually Winifred Burkle that he was talking to from the spinoff Angel.
Yes. And this was setting up a crossover-ish kind of thing. Or at least just a crossover for Willow, basically.
Yeah.
And so Willow just comes downstairs and tells Buffy she has to bounce. Super secretive. Can't tell you where I'm going, but I have to go out of town. Buffy's like, all right, bye. It's like, wait a minute. What?
Yeah, where are you going? Weird. But it was the best crossover ever. It was when she went to go get Faith and they had to get Angelus. That whole crossover. That's where she was going, was to put the soul back into Angel. That's why she couldn't tell her where she was going.
Okay, so after Willow leaves, Buffy decides to go ahead and unchain Spike, even though Giles is against it. And and she gives Giles like a real nasty, like, you know, like basically just like Giles is like, don't do it. She's like, don't. It's like, ma'am, I just you still actually have a sister that was hit in the head.
Their whole thing this episode is really weird because there's a moment where they're talking at Spike and he grabs Buffy up and I'm like, watch how you hand, like, don't be putting your hands on me, sir.
Yeah. So,
that might have led to the attitude she gives him here.
Maybe. Yeah.
And so, then, of course, Robin takes the opportunity to be like, hey.
Yeah. Robin and Giles have a little chat, a little chatteroo about Spike and Buffy and the problematic relationship they have. And Robin starts to tell him about how that he was raised by a watcher. He tells him which watcher. Giles is like, oh, I know that dude. He used to be.
He's like, he killed your mom.
He finally connects the dots. You're Nikki's son. Spike killed your mom.
He killed your mom. Yes,
this must be awkward for you.
A little bit more than it was about 5 minutes ago. I wish they would have showed us a flashback with Crowley, because I would have loved to have seen who, like, what he looked like.
Yeah.
What kind of watcher he was.
Yeah. And so Robin says he has, like, a plan, and, you know, Giles, all Giles needs to do is distract Buffy, and he's like, you know, she'll do what you say. She listens to her watcher, right?
he actually chuckles a little.
Giles is a little bit embarrassed to admit that no, she does not. She hasn't done that since day one.
But she actually does. She goes out with him anyway. You know.
Yeah, he's like, he suggests some bogus training session. And then, you know, it's agreed that Robin will take Spike to his place to watch him.
And there's a problematic quote here. It says that everyone at the house is a little relieved to have Spike at Robin's. So if everyone's afraid of Spike, why are you letting him stay in the basement? Like, if all of those girls are afraid of him, what are you doing? You're not you're being a bad slayer.
She you're is. Being a bad, she's being a bad slayer. Bad slayer, captain, friend, sister. Like, you were just, her only concern is Spike right now, and it's driving me a little bonkers.
Mm-hmm. It couldn't have been that good.
Especially if you're not trying to get it back. I mean, right? If you're not trying to, if you're not actively
I still don't understand. Right.
Like, Spike is charming and all, but it's let's not get it twisted. Like, he's still, like everyone says, he's a fucking murderer. Like, he's a live wire. He's very unstable right now. It's not a good idea to have him around all of these little girls.
No, it's not. But it is cute to see Buffy and Giles on this mission in the cemetery and have the most adorable, like, bank branch manager vampire come out. He's so kind of nice. I feel bad for Richard, actually.
Right. So Giles is like trying, like using this whole thing about, you know, Buffy, you got to be prepared to make the tough decisions. You know, and Richard comes out and he's like, you know, if I tell you not to kill this vampire, will you not kill the vampire? And she's like, but why? He's like, just don't do it. So she fights with him for a while and, you know, and Rich is just, what did she say? Like, he seems kind of nice.
He's like, really?
And you know, Spike or Buffy keeps going on about, yes, I'm prepared to make the tough decisions. And then just once again, she just showing how little she gives a shit about everybody else except for Spike. She's like, you know, if I had to kill Dawn to save the world, I would do that. It's like, oh. And off in the distance, you hear Dawn. Thanks.
Yep. Because he asked her, he said, knowing what you know now, you'd let her die. And she was like, if I had to, yeah, I would. If I had to. I mean, she's done it before. She killed Angel. She always makes the hard decisions. Don't come at her that way, Giles. You know, come at her a different way.
Yeah, this is like, you know what, basically, yeah, just come at her with the fact that this is specifically Spike, and I don't know what it is, and I need you to tell me why.
So, and meanwhile, poor Spike is...
Spike arrives...
in what can only be described as possibly a scene out of Pulp Fiction. Like, I was worried they were going to bring out Zed at any moment.
Bring out the Gimp.
Because Robin starts taking his clothes off. They're in a room... full of crosses? Are we making the world's weirdest porn? What's going on here?
Seriously, like Spike walks into this shed and it's just like crosses upon crosses upon crosses on the wall everywhere. Spike's like, what the fuck is happening?
And then Robin starts downloading something from iTunes on his very large Mac.
Well, what's funny is that at this point, like, Spike is now asking questions. He's like, so what's your story, Robin?
A little too late, I might add.
Right. Yeah, never go to a second location, Spike. So Robin starts like, no big. I don't have much of a story, blah, blah, blah. And then, like you said, he's like taking his shirt off and to expose like some tank top. And then he's like pulls open a drawer full of weapons. And it looks like, I swear, it looks like some sort of like spiked fucking jock strap.
Yep. It looked real scary.
He didn't pull it out, but it's there in case. And he starts putting on like the holster the arms and strapping things onto his arms and stuff. And it's like, oh, by the way, you killed my mom.
And Spike is still like, I killed a lot of moms.
Know your audience, Spike. Now's not the time to be flippant.
What of it? So?
What's your point?
Come at me. And then he hits play on his old ass computer and the song.
He drops that beat. He drops the beat. He paid the $2.99 to get the song. I gotta say,
anyone out there that can edit that scene and have it Rickroll, I would appreciate it. I just killed Camila.
Because that's what I was thinking. I was like, LimeWire was alive and well at this point in time.
Uh-huh. Chances are, 90 seconds into that song, you either got Rickroll, a very loud screech.
Right, or some DJ.
Bill Clinton.
Oh, God.
Or some DJ.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, the number one Hot 90 mix.
Life was hard, kids. Life was hard. Now you
after you waited this, 2 days to right? download the ones.
Right? Oh. And now you just have ASMR. That's all. Like, you don't even want music. You just want to listen to my voice pop. Okay.
Y'all are weird.
But Spike's getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
Beat. Robin is digging up in that ass.
Yeah, and I'm assuming simultaneously he's having these flashbacks because we go back to after his mom is all turned and stuff.
She looks pretty.
She does. She's glowing, as William puts it. And she's also digging in that ass. Like, mm-hmm. He's like, oh, great. You're healthy. You're looking great. We're going to have so much fun together. And she's like, No, I would. I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you all of the ways that I hate you.
Yep. Mom? And then, if that wasn't bad enough, she takes it to an even worse level and starts making some implications.
Like, yo, like, mom, no, can we not? Like, this can is like not? first is just insulting. Then it's uncomfortable. Then it's cruel. And then it gets lightweight incestuous. Like. Yeah. Mrs. Spike, can you not do this?
It's nasty. It's real nasty.
Mrs. the Bloody. Like, she says some really nasty shit to him.
Yeah.
And he's looking like real.
He's like, no. You're twisting his whole it all everything. Up. I just his loved you. Everything. I only loved you. I didn't know.
His whole everything is fucked. Like, she completely shattered him. And, you know, I would like to say that this is the moment, because there was still a little sensitivity happening with William/Spike in his newfound vampire-ness. But this was probably what turned him completely to the cold-hearted, just like fucking just went all the way over to the cold-blooded killer that he was. He was like, fuck this world.
Oh, yeah, I think for sure this turned him from William to Spike. I think if his mother had been kind and decent to him, he would have stayed William. He never would have become Spike.
Right, right. He would have still had his little bloodlust, but he wouldn't have been
he would have been William the Bloody.
As fierce and ferocious as he was.
No. William the Bloody would still a bit of poetry in his heart, but he wouldn't have gone full on Spike.
Oh, so he finally stakes her. He has to do it. He's like, I can't have this. I can no longer take this. So he kills his mom after she tries to shag him. did we hear at a convention that the actress tried to shag James? Did he say that?
I think so. Yeah, which, good on you for shooting your shot, lady.
You know what? Like, I ain't even mad at you.
Nope. Like, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
I'm here. I'm going to do this. See what happens. Worst that happens, he says no. Or I get fired. Yep. You know, whatever.
Right?
Either way, it would have been worth it. Giles is going on to with Buffy about making sacrifices and saving the world and blah, blah, blah. And then finally Buffy gets it. Like, wait a minute. You're stalling me. Because he brings up Spike several more times. And she's like, fuck. And so she takes off. And in the meantime, while, you know, Robin is still kicking off in Spike's ass, then he takes off his weapons and puts his shirt back on and takes his mama's coat back.
Yeah. He took that coat.
Then Spike snaps out of it.
And thanks him. Whoops his ass for a little bit and then thanks him for giving him the best therapy session he's ever had.
You cured me, bro. This trigger.
You did what that little prophylactic stone couldn't do. You fixed me. Thanks.
That trigger ain't got shit on me. Yep. I'm good. And then Spike has some, like, I think it looks like a couple of the moves that he puts on Robin, that he used them on his mom, on Nikki, Like, it looks like the same for a second. It mirrors the fight in the subway. And if that's the truth, that's cold.
It looks like it.
And Spike also says, I don't give a piss about your mom. Insult too to far. Literal injury.
That's a little too far.
That's too much.
You didn't have to do that.
That's just rude. And he gives him a little insight. You know, when Robin was like, you took my mom away from me. She was my world. And Spike is like, but you weren't hers. Mm-hmm. Didn't that really piss you off? It's like, yeah.
That's even ruder. He's like, my mom actually loved me. Yours didn't.
Ouch.
How's that feel?
Hey.
It's itchy.
Cut it out.
Why you gotta be so mean about it, sir?
And Robin, I'm just gonna say, you're surrounded by like thousands of wooden stakes. Jab him in the chest right now. He still killed your mom.
What is the point of all of these stakes and crosses?
I don't know.
Like, and I don't understand why or how he thought he won that fight. Like, he's still a vampire. Like, even though if that was a man, like just a human, yes, that guy would have been knocked out for a little while. But he is a vampire. Mm-hmm.
You don't stop until they're dust.
Right. You finish the job.
Mm-hmm. To add insult to injury, Spike calmly walks over to the table, starts the song, and is like, bitch. If he'd have had a mic, he would have dropped it. Instead, he just turns it off, lets it play for a little bit, turns it off. He's like, you know, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to kill you because I can do that now, too.
Yeah, and he goes in. He goes for the neck. And as I'm looking at this again, it is this fight between these two. Like when Spike is actually fighting back, like that's like something that I could be down with just playing like on loop.
It's blocked really well, and it's
lit.
Yeah, yeah, nicely. It's a good fight.
Both of the men's have very flattering t-shirt situations with their shiny muscles just kind of glowing.
That black t-shirt. Woo.
Yep, and you know Robin is like serving it up real nice. Like this is all right. I'm here for it.
One of my favorite parts of Poor Richard's. We're gonna call the sub story the Ballad of Poor Richard. You know, one of the conversations that Buffy's having with Giles, she's like, I am fighting for my life here. And poor Richard just mistakes that comment for the fight that they're currently having. And he's so excited about it. And she's like, no, not you.
He's like, really? I was like,
no.
Rich. No, 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 Rich. You came at an awkward time. So Buffy gets to Robin's just in time to see Spike walk out with his coat back on. And he reacts the way that anybody would. And she's like, what happened? He was like, your boy? Mm-hmm. I gave him a pass this time. Like, he came at me wrong. He came at me out of left. And I'm going to give him a pass. I didn't kill him this time because I killed his mom. But that bitch looks at me funny next time, I'm going to kill him.
When he opens the door and Robin's just sitting there with with his shirt hanging off his shoulder, he looks so depressed.
It's like, how does that feel, sir? Like, you have been like holding on to this lifelong revenge, and now what?
You got your ass beat. You got your ass beat. And for some reason, I think he really thought Buffy was going to take his side. And she's like, no, no, hold on here. You heard what he said. You try this shit again, and I'm going to let him kill you.
Right.
Pure and simple.
Yeah. It's like, Robin, where have you been all this time? Like, you know whose side she was going to take. It didn't matter. Like,
he is the strongest warrior we have, is what she tells him.
Yeah.
I need him in this fight. No matter what he's done, he is key to us saving the world. Done. And I still got to say, if I'm Robin, I got to say, you know what? I get your point. He still killed my mom. Good luck with your fight. I'm out.
What? Exactly. It's like, you know what? I don't need to be a part of this. No. If y'all not going to let me kill him, I'm going to bounce.
Right.
And I'm going to catch his ass on the flip side.
Right.
I tell you what I will not be doing is just kumbaya with him. And,
right.
You know, like, it's just, I can't. It won't happen. I'm wondering, is this shack, this garage, is this like something that Robin rents that's outside of his home? That's like not part of his home?
Yeah, I think so. Buffy lovingly checks on Dawn when she gets home, who has to share her room with like five people. Why are there so many girls in this house? I live here. I'm not sharing my room. I don't care. No, this is my house. Willow can share. She don't, like she, this is, mm-mm.
Right.
But she goes out into the hallway and Giles is there and he's like, I know you're angry. And she's basically like, fuck you. Good night. And closes the door in his face. He's out the hall like, I'm sorry.
I would just leave. Giles, go back home.
Just go. Like,
go home. Like, she clearly acts like she don't want you there.
Right.
I know she, like,
let this little girl do her thing. She don't need you.
Right. Nope.
She grown.
Home, back home to your wide estate. And
right? With your sprawling lands and your horses. And how'd you get that? But that's our episode. That's how it ends, with a door in the face. This is probably, of this season, this is definitely one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, like it's absolutely.
It started off a good block with storyteller this and hoo-hoo-hoo, them dirty girls. I can't wait to get to them dirty girls. But this was a really good episode and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
We have a song of the week, yeah?
Finally.
What else would it be?
Third.
It's
Nana Muscari. Muscari.
Yeah.
So apparently this song has been around for like decades upon centuries. Yeah.
Sure.
I forgot to catch a burn, but you have one here.
I do. There it is, and it cracked me up. It is Spike and Giles in the basement. Spike is saying, oh, bullocks, all the rubbish people keep sticking in my head. It's a wonder there's any room for my brain. And Giles replies with, I don't think it takes up that much space, do you?
And the look on his face when he delivers, like his line delivery, like the way that Giles just, you know, just silently snatches wigs, just like real easily.
Which, can we just take a hot second to just drop a shout out to Mr. Anthony Stewart Head and how amazing he has aged. If you are not watching Ted Lasso, season 3 and he woof woof.
Yeah.
Like, damn, son.
Yeah, and he's now just Anthony Head.
Yes, he's now just Anthony Head. Which you're gonna always be Anthony Stewart Head.
But I feel like Stewart was the weird one to was the wrong one to drop.
You're Tony Head. I don't.
I was a little bit concerned. Like, I'm a little bit behind. I think we only watched the first episode of season 3 for Ted Lasso. And I was a little bit concerned. Like, it seemed like he was limping. And I don't remember if that was part of the character. Or
I didn't notice.
That's
I was
Anthony's.
Too busy looking at his beautiful face.
He does look fabulous. And he's, like, just the right amount of assholery that he spews.
Yeah. He's a bit of a dickhead.
Yeah, and it's so funny because he's only on, like, you know, ever so often. He's not in every episode, and I had forgotten because it's been so long since the last season.
Yeah.
And then he shows up and is like, oh, yeah! Hey, Tony!
It's Ash! Hey there!
Yes, so shout out to Ash getting more screen time these days and also to the Ted Lasso crew because that is a delightful show.
Oh, my God. I love it so much. We had some bodies drop this week. We had two vampires that Spike dusted. I believe one in the alley, and I don't know where the second one was. And then we had Ann Pratt, sired and dusted by Spike. That's his mom. So his last name is Pratt.
Pratt?
His name is William Pratt. I did not know that. Willie Pratt? Bill Pratt? That's awful.
And we don't talk about his dad.
We don't. Ever. then poor, the ballad of poor Richard. He got dusted by
Buffy. Richard. And it does not pass the Bechdel test.
I don't think so. No, not this time. There are some good random trivias and goofs, though. Spikes makes a mention of his mom's personal physician. Does he need to go get Dr. Gull because she's coughing blood into a napkin? Well, apparently, in real life, Dr. William Gull was a physician extraordinaire to the royal family and some believed to be Jack the Ripper.
What?
Interesting.
That is interesting. Especially considering, like, the last one of our episodes, a few episodes back, I think you had said that it would have been a good kick to, like, try to make Angelus having been Jack the Ripper.
That would have been amazing. I would have loved that. And then this is the final appearance of our sweet, sweet Juliet Landau as Drusilla. We will no longer see her from this point on this show.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. Thank you for everything, Juliet.
No, you were the best. You made it all worth it. The moral of the story is you got to fix your mommy issues. Like,
you got to fix them.
I know there's a lot of talk about daddy issues. I don't think the world visits mommy issues as much as they should. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing. They exist. And you need to find your help with it. And also, as I pointed out to Spike, never go to a second location with someone that you're not really sure about, that you don't really know. Because Robin's been giving him side eye from jump, and Spike should have known that something was up. He may not have recognized him, sure. But Robin has been looking at him suspect from the beginning.
But, you know, since, like, season 4, Spike's the crash on your couch kind of person, so he just keeps bouncing from place to place. So he didn't think anything of it.
It's so fucked up that he doesn't have a spot of his own, like, for, like, the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Like, his spirit was like, watch Spike. It's got to be, like, emasculating, a little dehumanizing. Right. Like, just, like, it's got to make you feel some kind of way. Like, put you in some sort of space, mentally and emotionally, to just have people watching you all the time. I'm not a toddler, I'm not a peek-a-poo. Like, stop it. So, yeah, that was the episode. If you can let us know what you think about Lies My Parents Told Me, you can send an MP3 file less than a minute and email it to revisitingsunnydale@gmail.com. We will play it on the air. You can also send us messages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Next episode, Dirty Girls.
Those dirty, dirty girls.
Dirty girls. This means that Faith comes back. Yes. And we got little Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
Coming our way.
Yep. A young, young Nathan Fillion. It's a really good episode. You guys are going to like this one.
Yeah. So, once again. Yes. So once again, thank you for listening. And please talk to us. Tell us how much you like us. We like to hear that sort of thing.